You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show.
And I did a play with the National Theatre called The Ocean at the End of the Lane a year or two ago. And she came to see it. And then for the first time, she said, "Will you help me with my piece for my A-levels, please, Mum?" Fell on the floor like, "Yes, I'd love to. I'd love to help you."
But before all of that...
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. Now, Wendy, I have got a question for you, a parenting question. Are you a "you've made your own bed, you can lie in it" parent? Or do you rush out to help your kids? And I'm asking you this because this morning, my teenager, my 14-year-old, forgot to take her school uniform to school. She went dressed in her dance PE kit. I got a phone call from the school office at 9:10 to say, "She's here without her uniform. Can you bring it?" And I, potentially like an idiot, jumped in the car and took it to her. Would you have done that? Or are you the kind of parent who's like, "You need to learn from your mistakes"?
Tricky. I'm a bit of a cow bag. I'm the latter, sadly.
My 13-year-old forgot to tell us that she had home food tech this week. And so while I was at an event yesterday, I got a call saying I need the ingredients for sweet and sour chicken, which I don't happen to have and certainly can't muster up while I'm in London and she's in Surrey. So she had to go and she got behaviour points for not taking her food tech in. So I'm mean, I'm afraid. I think with uniform I might have swayed because that's a bit different, but
it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Let's see what our guest would say.
Well, I'm going to tell you who we're going to be joined by today and then we'll ask her what kind of parent she is. Basically, today we're joined by a TV icon. She will forever be best known for pushing Barry off a cliff on EastEnders. But these days, actor Charlie Brooks can be found treading the boards in theatres and running I Am Pro, a special network and support community for actors. She's also currently competing and doing brilliantly in this year's Dancing on Ice. Charlie, a big welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
So lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
So before we get into our questions, what sort of parent are you? Leave them with no uniform? Take the uniform in?
I think over the years, I've been a fixer and I've run to the rescue. And I don't know whether that was me and her dad aren't together or I'm trying to make her life easier somehow. But actually, I don't think that that is a good thing. And actually, if in the times where I've ignored 17 phone calls because, or not ignore them on purpose, been at a work thing or unable to pick up to find out it was because she couldn't get all of her clothes into a suitcase and she needed me to fix it. You know, it's like, she then managed to find a solution all by herself, and then was really proud of herself. And I think for too many years, I've tried to find the solution for her, basically, is what I'm saying. And actually leaving them to their own devices sometimes and laying in their own mess, I think, is a really positive thing to do. And I sort of wish I'd done more of it. I mean, there have been occasions where I've done it in the past, but, you know, the guilt, the mum guilt, you just want to make life as easy as possible. But, you know, I don't think it's the right way.
How old is she, Charlie?
Well, she's 20 now.
Ah, fine.
But the suitcase love wasn't that long ago, let me tell you.
First of all, I have to apologise. You must be pretty sick of people talking about Barry and that cliff by now.
I understand that this will forever be the opener of any interview I do, so it's okay.
Okay, so getting back to parenting and Kiki, she's, as you said, she's recently turned 20. Yep. Do you feel like tick, parenting done, or actually will it never feel that way?
For me, I think it actually got harder as the older she got. I mean, it became more interesting because you'd have to think of more creative ways of helping and navigating your way through challenges and problems. And there have been a lot of challenges and problems. It's not been easy. And I don't, it's actually been really hard sometimes. No, I don't think it's ever tick done. I feel like as she's in the last few months, particularly, we've turned a huge corner, but it has taken us quite a long while to get there in the brutal rejection that I sort of felt as a mother through her teenage years. For one reason or another, you've got a young girl sort of screaming out for her own identity amongst two quite, you know, parents who have quite big personalities. So the last few months have just been really amazing, actually. She'll say it herself. She'll go, well, my frontal lobe is, you know, has developed. but she comes to me more now. So I feel able to help her and like my help is received better. Whereas for a few years there, it wasn't required. I was the last person she would want to hear something from, and not in all situations. And I found that really tricky.
So Alison and I, as we said, are kind of at the beginning of this teen joy.
Good luck!
Well, one of the things she said there that I found really interesting is that's the bit, is also the bit that I find the hardest, which is that suddenly not being wanted by them. So was that the thing you found the hardest, or were there other things? I'm sure you're going to say there were shed loads of other things.
There was a lot. I think Kiki looks a lot like me. And she is creative and artistic and wants to be an actress and writer and director and all of those beautiful things, which I've really encouraged. But all she's had her whole life is, God, don't you look like mummy? You're going to be just like mummy. You're so like mummy, aren't you? And I think it absolutely drove her mental. And so the further away from me she could get, the better for
That's really interesting, because my daughter is the clone of me, and I already see her getting the, at Christmas when we saw lots of family she hasn't seen in a while, she was like, if one more person tells me that I look like you, it's like, so I totally get that.
Yeah. And now, finally at 20, she's kind of like embracing it much more. And I did a play with the National Theatre called The Ocean at the End of the Lane a year or two ago, and she came to see it, and then for the first time she said, will you help me with my piece for my A-levels, please, Mum?
Fell on the floor like, yes, I'd love to help you.
It's definitely
that's so lovely.
It can be very tricky. Yeah.
What do you think through the last, 20 years, let's say 20 years, what is the biggest thing that you've learned about yourself?
I suppose the biggest thing I've learned about myself, like I've done a lot of work over the last 5 or 6 years. So I gave up drinking, which is huge, because I love to party and I loved a glass of wine. It just wasn't serving me anymore. And the main reason for that was so that I could be 100% present for my daughter and not have, you know, breathe the wrong way, or not be available to drop her or drive her, and not be reactive on a hangover, or, you know, not have anything. I just wanted to be 100% there. And in the journey of giving up booze, I think you really sit with yourself so much. And you really learn to understand your own feelings that are in no way masked. So I've learned things about my younger self that I didn't really even know existed at the time, because I would always put a mask on and be like, oh, have a drink, don't worry about it, it'll be fine, we'll have a glass of wine, lol, well, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, or don't worry, it's a breakup or whatever it is, you know, and it, that holds down and masks anything that you're really feeling and any fears that you might have had. And I really started to understand, like, even at 17 going into EastEnders, you know, those fears that I had that hid in confidence, and I'm a go-getter and I'm determined. And so actually making friends with that person, that younger version of me, and understanding her has been really interesting. And I've learned that I can be an extrovert in particular situations if I pick up on people's energies and I feel very, very comfortable to be myself. But I can also be very introverted. And if I don't feel comfortable in a situation, I can be very quiet. And that's okay, you know. I have to, like, the self-care element of this is, I need my own space. I need time to recharge. I need time to step back from the world and from people sometimes in order to show up and be the person that I can be. And that means putting in boundaries and being able to say no. And these are things that I'm still sort of learning and getting comfortable with. But, you know, if we want, sometimes the computer stops working, you just unplug it and put it back in. And so understanding that that is the same for me as a human being was really important.
It's really hard to do, though.
It is really hard to do, yeah.
That's so funny, yeah. About you saying about the computer needing recharging. A couple of weeks ago, one of my six-year-olds was saying to me, Mummy, do this with me, do this with me, whatever it was. You want me to play Barbies with her or something? And I just said to her, look, you know how you have to plug your iPad in sometimes to recharge it? Well, Mummy's sitting here with a cup of tea and that's me being plugged in. I need 10 minutes to recharge and then we're good. And she got it. She understood.
Yeah, great. I mean, that's exactly it.
Exactly. Am I right in thinking that Kiki has recently moved to New York to study acting?
Yes, so she did. She went to NYU. She went last year. And then just because of a few personal challenges, she's now at Bristol University and she's doing film photography and lots of acting as well.
That's amazing, though. I mean, have you been suffering from empty nest syndrome? You know, you mentioned that you've got, before we came on, you mentioned that you've got a new puppy. Is that kind of, you know?
Yeah. The New York move was a really big one for me and I really struggled, knowing who I was meant to be and where I was meant to be.
Absolutely,
Same place for 16, 17 years since she was little. Well, since I got pregnant, I moved to this area, but we've been in the same sort of house. And and she went and part of me was like, it's you. Like, she's going, it's amazing. So proud of how brave she is. Like, what an adventurer. And the other part of me, when it all sort of settled down and I came home, was just like, gosh, I don't know where I'm meant to be now or who I'm meant to be. And I went on a solo travel trip to Thailand, which was amazing. And then I thought, my mum's in Bristol, my brother's in Bristol, I'm going to go and do a test run living there. Is this area serving me anymore? Or is this good to bring up my child? Or am I then ripping away the family home?
God, so much. I don't think I can cope.
But actually, you know, if you can just sit with that long enough, I think the answer eventually presents itself. And I was lucky to be in a position where I could go and test drive Bristol. And I realized that actually I was a bit lonely there. And I didn't at the time have a partner to go on that adventure with. And I didn't really want to start again with my friendship groups. And at the end of the day, I love London so much. I love looking into towns, the theatre, for nice dinner. You know, I'm not saying Bristol doesn't have that, but...
But helpful for your career to be in London as well, a lot of the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, it is, definitely, yeah.
So now that she's that bit older and you're back in the sphere of being someone that she wants to ask for help, what are those things that you're trying to teach her as she moves into being a proper grown-up and also following your career path as well?
Staying out of drama is a really big one, as much as you can, you know, and sort of being non-reactive, I think, is a big one. Just sort of staying in an elevated neutral position as much as you can. I think understanding that sometimes what can feel like the worst situation in the world is quite often the best thing that may have happened to us. And understanding, you know, that the greatest thing we know is that we just don't know. You know, and trying to help her kind of, navigate all those feelings of uncertainty. And I want it and I want it now. And, you know, she grew up in the social media boom. She was like the child of that exact time.
The test case, bless her.
Yeah, the test case. And so for me as well, it's trying to put myself in her shoes and understanding, you know, I mean, they get so many messages and so much crap that comes through that we just have no idea about. And then we are actually, as parents, on the front line when they are explosive. And that can feel really hard, you know. And so for me, it's like trying to put myself in her shoes a lot of the time, and kindness as well. You know, they can be quite selfish kids.
They can. But what's great is that you've started up this acting community and support system in I Am Pro. Tell us a bit more about that, because that must be incredible for, you know, amateurs and professionals, even, you know, like people like your daughter who are training to become actors. It must be
I think who might just come on it for the first time, and it's been going for 4 years.
Oh. Big moment.
So it came about 4 or 5 years ago. I did it, my brother, who is operations, and my sister-in-law, who kind of manages the whole thing, because obviously I've been working and, you know, the day-to-day is let. They do a brilliant job of kind of managing all of that. But it was to find an offer opportunity for actors who ordinarily might not have it. We have amateur actors on there, like you said. We have people who are more advanced. We've had people cast from the platform on Coronation Street. Nina Gold, who's a huge cast and director, cast someone from the platform. EastEnders, we have director workshops, casting workshops, Get Seen events where they can get agents. Agents can come down and watch them perform sort of 4 times a year. And really, yeah, it's just offering opportunity. And weekly, we have weekly classes every day. So whether that's, you know, Shakespeare Made Easy, or exploring further Shakespeare, or screen acting, there's, you know, understanding film, understanding character, ugly characters. There's like so many brilliant things and classes that you can take part in. And we have a monthly masterclass from people like, we've had Saran Jones, Daisy May Cooper, Denise Goff, David Morrissey, who was amazing. So, you know, to name sort of but a few. So we've had some really amazing people come down and Q&A and share their experiences and processes and depart, you know, impart whatever knowledge they have for our students. And it's just, the thing is, like, to go to drama school, it's really expensive. And to get in is really hard. And the way that people get an agent now, unless you're a child star, is to do your third year showcase at drama school, which is where all the agents come down, you know, and you sort of go from there. And so without that, it's like so muddy as to how you get in. I mean, you can write, create, direct, put plays on at Fringe, short film festivals, which I encourage all of them to do constantly. But it's really difficult. And so if we can create a new pathway into the industry for people who cannot afford to go to drama school, or like I say, get in, then that's kind of what we're trying to do.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's when you see it working and when you see people cast, it's like the most rewarding thing. It's extraordinary. And I mentor on there monthly. So we have monthly mentoring where it's basically a space where they can come and share any fears or successes or any questions that they have. We usually have a theme running through it. I set tasks that I would set for myself that I then just share with them. So we do it as a group, you know. I'm not an expert. I didn't go to drama school. I don't know loads of stuff about, I'm very instinctive as an actress. And so I might learn something from a director on set one day and go, oh, that's really good, and take that into my mentoring session. Well, you know, it was created basically because I also wanted to learn. So
it sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
And a world away from Dancing on Ice. So I've been loving, my little girl, my 9-year-old, absolutely loves it. And we took her ice skating for the first time at Christmas and she was so terrible. It was not even funny. And she's decided she wants to be in, I want to be in ice skating, mummy. You tell me what that means. But how daunting was it stepping out? Were you like a closet ice skater beforehand, or was it first time on the ice pooping your pants?
I mean, I went to, you know, years ago, I went with a mulled wine at Christmas. I went a couple of times when I was a kid. Do you know what's beautiful about this, right, is I said it on Loose Women or something. I had lots of reasons not to do it in my head, whether it was not strong enough, my body letting me down, it's a reality TV show. You know, there were lots of kind of things that came into play. And actually, when I got really quiet and listened to what my heart was saying, I was just like, oh my God, that little girl inside, she's going, are you mad? That the thought of not doing it felt so exciting. That's what's so beautiful about Iron Pro as well, by the way. We've got so many mums on there that had kids, whether it was younger, and then forgot all of their own dreams and just kind of went, oh no, well, you know, we had to get a job, that are coming back and rediscovering like all this passion that they had because they went to drama school, or they always wanted to go to drama school, you know. So if anyone like wants to go ice skating, go ice skating.
Yes.
Because it's so fun and it's important that we remain playful as mums as women, and we can forget that sometimes, you know. So no, I wasn't a closet ice skater. Yes, I have loved every second up until the live show when it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done.
And we saw Kiki cheering you on the live show. What did that mean to you to have her there? She had a banner. She was there. It looked so special.
9 hours on that banner. 9 hours. It was amazing. She felt was so emotional, mum, and she was very proud. And, you know, she wants to come every week, which is really lovely because there was a time where she wouldn't have wanted to. So it's like, it feels so nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's such an achievement. It's really hard.
It looks really hard.
It is. See, I think it looks easier than it is. There are some things I go, my beautiful pro dancer, skater, Eric, he makes it look so easy. And it's not that easy. I'm like pulling my hair out.
But you've got decent scores and good comments from the judges. Yes. So you've said you'd like to make it to the final. Who's the biggest competition, do you reckon, other than yourself and your own fear of it?
I would describe my skating right now as bang average.
No, you're good.
You know, I think we all hit a ceiling as well of like how far. I'm very cautious and you need to have a certain amount of fearlessness, which I'm really hoping to improve on.
Especially with dancing on ice, because every year there's a horror story about a celebrity who's catastrophically broken something. So you must just be there going, don't let it be me.
Yeah. So there's a lot of jeopardy in this show, you know, there really is. But we're very well looked after by the team. Sharon, the physio, is amazing. You're well looked after. They won't let you do anything you're uncomfortable with, you know. So if I feel super confident in it, then I'm happy to do it. But I think, like, if I make the final, then that's great. But Michaela Stratton, I think, is, you know, she's a fantastic skater. She's really putting in lots of work. And Dan was amazing on Sunday night. Molly's amazing. The standard is really high. And we've got such a good group. Everyone is just loving it. Like, we are, that's what I, if I was to go, I'd be really sad to step out of that bubble because everyone is amazing.
Yeah, it does come across. Now, you've said in the past that you've really struggled with body image, but you do seem in quite a good place now. Is that the case? And what do you think the turning point has been?
I think, it ebbs and flows. You know, I would eat something, beat myself up for it. Like, food has taken up far too much space and energy in my head. And so I'm trying to unlearn and unpick all of those behaviors. Sometimes I feel beautiful. I have days where I feel really great. Sobriety has helped with that because, you know, there's a lot of acceptance around who I am. And also I don't punish my body anymore. I don't, she says on Dancing on Ice.
Are you starving because you're skating so much?
Well, you can kind of eat whatever you want, really.
See, there's no punishing there.
I know, there's no punishing there. But, and your bum gets nice and firm, which is just a bonus. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I did a Keep Fit video when I was really young. And I think from that I was weighing myself twice a day and I got very, very small. And so I was never small enough after that. I could never, because I was never at that again, which was unmaintainable for me because you are talking to a girl who loves her food.
Also, that was in the noughties, wasn't it? When it was like proper toxic diet culture.
Zero brigade, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a long time ago and, you know, different reasons as to why I did it. But what it did do actually was give me an understanding of healthy eating in some respect, whereas I just didn't pay any attention to it before. But I think about my life before I did that video and I was like, it didn't take up the same space in my head as it did for the last, you know, for the second chapter.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I try and practice a lot of acceptance. And do you know what I watched? The Substance, right? Which I thought was fascinating.
The reason
I thought it was fascinating, I mean, it got all a bit grotesque and I know it's a horror towards the end, but the way it made me feel about my body afterwards, I was like, God, I'm okay. Like, this is... you're there. And that internal brutal fight that we have with ourselves, you know, that's represented in these two versions of the same person, the younger and the older, and the war that can feel real for women, you know. Yeah. It's like, I hate myself, what are you doing? Oh, you're beautiful, be accept, be this, be that, da-da. It really made me feel very happy to be in my skin. And I didn't know that it really surprised me with that, which was beautiful. So it's work in progress. I have days where this isn't a true story, you know, but the 80% now, I'm okay.
So we are three mothers of all daughters sat here. And personally, this whole navigating body image and health with my daughters terrifies me. How did you navigate that particular conversation?
Well, we used to have a little chant that we'd say when she was younger. If we were like walking or running, we'd say, you know, it's good for my heart, it's good for my mind, and then I can eat more chocolate. So, you know, it's just trying to. And actually, I think the food element has been my biggest failure as a mum with Kiki. When she was very young, she was really good at eating everything. And then as she stopped eating the vegetables and got very, I found it really hard to, I would cook like lovely meals and she'd be like, that's disgusting. And after like quite a long time of doing that, you just think, oh, what's the point? You just give in to, you know, the ease. And I kind of wish I'd persisted more with that, I think. But, I definitely do wish I'd persisted more. But it's a very difficult thing to help someone be comfortable in their own skin. You know, it's working out for all of the right reasons, knowing that it's because it makes you feel good, eating for it to make you feel good, not so that you can slim down and lose, you know. But my programming was always that, you know, skip meals, don't eat, da 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 da.
That's what we were all brought up with in our generation, yeah. Was you're not valid unless you're thin. And you're not pretty unless you're thin. And so you mustn't eat.
Mm.
And hopefully our daughters have got a slightly different perspective on it, just growing up when they are growing up now.
Yeah, yeah. And also the body positivity movement is a really powerful one. I still encourage her to work out and do go for walks and things like that. But it is literally because it helps you sleep at night. If you're not sleeping, let's tick all the boxes of, you know, what's going to help you sleep or
So finally, Charlie, it is 2 years since we last saw Janine in Albert Square. Might we see her back again there anytime soon, or has that door closed?
I don't think it's closed forever, unless they don't want me back. I'm always open to conversations about going back. Janine's always a fun character to play. It just always depends on what else I'm doing, on timing. I've been doing a lot of theatre, which I've loved, although my nervous system could do with a break.
Hold on. The woman who is getting on the ice every Sunday says her nervous system could do with a break?
Right. I mean, there's...
You're that over punishment.
I really am. I'm like, I want to stay in my comfort zone just for a minute. I'm sick of being outside of my comfort zone.
Well, after Dancing on Ice, maybe you should just have like a month of TV and sofa and just don't do anything.
I love that. I mean, after Dancing on Ice, I go straight back into Chitty Bang Bang. So I'm finishing with them. Literally the day I finish, it'll be off, which is brilliant, by the way. Great day out for the family. Come and see it. We're at Bristol, Plymouth, Manchester, Birmingham, Sheffield, all over the place.
I saw it back when it was in London on the West End, and it was just incredible. Such an amazing production.
It's so bonkers, the story, but it's such a good day out, like, for the family. It's really, and it's so nostalgic as well.
Thank you, Charlie, for coming and chatting to us and telling us all of the things and being so candid about stuff. It's always so refreshing to chat to someone who's really honest.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Take care. Bye, guys.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in NetMums and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.